Tonight I want to talk to you about the last word. You may be seated. The last word. I've been preaching and teaching this month on the Word of God. Me and my wife was youth pastors, evangelists at the Woodrow Road Church of God, and we had a pastoral change and a new pastor came in, and never forget, he was 5 foot nothing, but he was just a great man of God. And he brought such a healing to the church and carried us through some difficult times. One Sunday morning, we had a great service. I mean, it was just a tremendous service. Youth were all in the altars, and people were running around the church and praising God and on their face worshiping and crying out to God. His wife was going through some struggles. After service, he had ran down to KFC and got them something to eat. And we had a church van that was having problems with. And he decided on that Sunday afternoon to work on the church van. He was so excited about the church service that they had. He was walking around clapping his hands and praise God, hallelujah. His wife turned around and said, "Would you shut up? I can't stand you." And he goes, "Well, honey, I love you." She said, "Well, sometimes I hate you." He walked outside and began to work on the church van. And he took a screwdriver, and remember how you used to be able to jump, but the car was in gear. It ran over him and killed him. This same pastor's wife sat in my living room with tears running down her eyes, saying, "The last thing he heard me say was, I hate you and I can't stand you." And she said, "If he was here today, I would get on my knees and worship him for what a great man he was." There is power in our last words. So I give each one of you a piece of paper, and I want you to grab a pen. Everyone have a pen. Just suppose you were going to die in the next half hour. You had a few moments to write something to someone, your last words. I want you to write down who you're writing to, and I want you to write to that person. You know for surety they're going to read it. Write down what you want to say to them. Your last words to them. It can be to one, two, three, or four people. Whatever it is, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to write down your last words. They're going to read it. You know they're going to read it. This is the last thing you get to say to them. Everybody done? Everybody look at me. How many wrote to the President of the United States? How many of you wrote and told the people where the will is, where the money is? Brother George, stand up. Tell us who you wrote to and what you wrote.
I wrote to my wife and my son. To make it short, the first thing I wrote was, I wanted to thank her for saving my life. I was drowning, man, and I was on my way out of here. And then God, he just threw her out like a life raft and saved me. I wrote to my son and I told him, "Not only are you the best son in the world, but I'm honored to be your dad. Words cannot express what you two mean to me, and I'll love you forever."
Somebody else.
I wrote to my husband, George, and my son, Anthony. "George, thank you for sharing yourself with me. I love you with all my heart. Thank you for the best 17 years together. Continue to be the great man of God that you are. I will always be in your heart. Whenever you feel alone, put your hand on your cheek and feel my warm kiss. I love you." Anthony, Mommy loves you. I will always be in your heart. Whenever you feel alone, remember the kissing hand. Put your hand to your cheek and feel my warm kiss on your face. Be the awesome man of God that God has called you to be.
Somebody else.
I wrote to my husband. I wrote, dearest buddy, te amo. I'm going from your arms into the arms of God. I'm thrilled that I will eventually get to spend eternity with you in the presence of my Father. Thank you for making my time here on earth so blessed. Hug all my family and friends and tell them I can't wait to hug them again too. Hello, Jesus. Praise God. Love, wife.
Somebody else?
I wrote to my mom, who, if you don't know, I have very bad relationship with and a lot of rough times. And I just put from my heart, I'll read it from my heart, that, dear mom, I just hope you know and never forget that I love you and that you have given me the most exciting, best 17 years that you ever could have given me, and that I have no regrets, and that I know that even though I didn't say it, that you know that I love you, and I just hope that you never forget it, and that you start to come to church, because I hope you know that you will find out a lot more about me, that I really wish this, that you could have seen that side of me. But I just pray that everything I have, every memory that I've kept in my scrapbooks, that you don't think of as clutter anymore, that you keep, and you keep it by your bed, and that you look at sometimes when you miss me, because I will always and forever miss you. And I wish I could have made up for the 17 years that we didn't get along.
Somebody else.
I wrote to my son, Tommy. These are my last words. Dear Tommy, I am writing these words to let you know that I love you very much. If at any time I said or did anything to hurt you, I am sorry. I also want you to know that I am going home to be with the Lord, and I will be waiting there for you. Remember, the Lord loves you very much, and he is waiting for you with open arms. He will always be there for you. Please go on with your life and be happy. I will always be watching over you. Love always, Mom.
I wrote to my husband and my daughter. I said, Reggie, I have always loved you and will forever love you. Continue to praise and worship our Father God. Continue learning and teaching the word of God to our daughter and our friends and family. More so, continue to always reach people for Christ. This is our purpose on earth. Never forget your purpose. I will be watching over you, and Jesus will say to me to tell you, well done. Kayla, Mommy loves you. Follow what your daddy teaches you about God. Allow God to reign over your life. He is the only way. You're my princess, and I'll love you forever. Nice.
I wrote to my wife and my daughter. Dear Angel, I love you, Angel. Take care of our little girl. Make sure she knows I'm going home to Jesus to watch over you guys. Tell my family I love them, and Jesus says to be strong and do not cry, for he has gained another brother in the kingdom of God. Thank you, baby, for everything you have done for me. You're a great wife, even on my last day. I can't wait for you to join me in heaven. Amen.
Somewhere back here.
To my family, Jesus loves you, and so do I. Your loving son and brother, Russell.
I wrote to my soon-to-be ex-husband. One morning, everything just changed in my life, but the only thing I have to say to him is, I'm sorry.
I wrote to my aunt, uncle, and cousin, because they're my the last unsaved close relatives in my family. And I wrote, Jesus loves you. I'm about to go and be with him. I want to see you there. Please let him into your heart. Make him the Lord of your life. He loves you so much.
I wrote to my wife, Evelyn. and my three sons, Joe, Michael, and Andrew. I've loved you all the best I could. Don't be sorrowful for me. I have a room waiting for me. God has blessed me and my family. That's you. Put the Lord into your hearts. I'm sorry for all the grief I've caused all of you. Please forgive me.
I wrote to my wife, you are the most wonderful woman in the world. I love you and cherish you, being such a pillar of strength for me and my family. May God richly bless you and reward you your faithfulness. You have made me strong. Thank you for 60 years together.
Dear Rosemary, my soulmate, my lover, my friend, my darling wife, I'm so happy I had the time with you we shared together. You're truly a wonderful person, caring, considerate, loving, helpful. You're always there for me and everyone you love. I'm not deserving of such a wonderful human being that you are. I thank you. I thank the Lord for bringing you to me. To my children, family, and friends, my soul will always live on watching over you all with God and Jesus at my side. Farewell for now until we meet again. To my son, Bobby, love our family as I did. Be a good man of the Lord. God bless all.
Sometimes we're so far apart. I said, if I have done you anything wrong, I would like you to forgive me. I love you so much. I've never steered you. Keep on loving Jesus, for he has loved you so much. You have been a joy to me, and maybe I did not tell you enough how much I love you. But I want you to know you have given me the most awesome grandchildren. Thank you.
Amen.
I wrote to my children. I have 7 boys and 3 girls and 9 grands. And I told them that I love them very much with all of my heart. And the last thing that I would ask as a wish would they get closer to God, serve him, and let God always lead them in the path of righteousness.
Amen.
Mom and Dad, I love you guys no matter how much you two fight, and I forgive you. Just try to stop because it hurts us a lot. Jamie, you're my little sister, and though at times you may get me mad, it's the times that we get along I remember the most. I never meant anything I say bad about you, and I'm sorry. P.S. Make a stand and start singing more. You're truly gifted.
Dear Pastor Mike, thank you for being such a big influence in my life and teaching me God. Thank you for introducing me to your wife and just showing me how to be a great woman of God. And your kids, how they've touched my life so much. They just taught me how to be happy again, and I can never thank you enough for that. I love you, Rebecca.
The last person I decided to write to was my mom. I told her that, well, I want to tell her that thank you so much for being there for me, always. Thank you for just never giving up on me. When I was a baby, just born with so many medical problems and basically on the verge of dying, and just always there and just never giving up on me. When I was sick, she always took care of me. She always brought me to church and always told me to stay and cling on God and just never give up and just continue to love my sister, and give her all the love that she needs, and just continue to care about her and just continue to love on God and just never give up. And no matter what happens, just always love God, and he would always just do everything to love you and just to care for you. And even though I'm gone, just remember me, not just as a person, just don't remember me as someone to go to church and do something, but just someone that tried to make a difference on this earth for people that don't know Jesus.
I wrote to my wife and my children. To my wife, Melissa, I want you to know, first of all, that I love you. And despite our ups and downs, I've been blessed to have you in my life. You've been a blessing to me, and I'm so grateful to you. I love your husband. And to my children, I love you. And I'm thankful God has given me children I'm so very proud of. Please continue seeking out the Lord through his written word. And help your mom and be good to her. She's given her life for you. Love you all, and see you in heaven when you get there.
I wrote to my stepson, Billy. I want you to know how very much I love you. I love you as my own. I'm sorry for not being a better stepmom to you. You are precious to me. You are precious to God. God is real, and he loves you with all he is. He is everything. Your choices do matter for this life and the next. I want the very best for you, but only you can choose that. No matter what you do in this life, I will always love you, always. No matter what, please forgive me for not doing a better job in teaching you by example about Christ. Look for him. He is waiting for you to just believe. The whole world and eternity will open up to you when you do.
Some awesome last words. I told you that if you wrote this down, the person you was writing to would get them. Brother George, you wrote something great. Can I see it? Just suppose the person you wrote to. Okay. Rocco, you wrote something awesome. Can I see it? Yeah. Whatever. Jesus left us some last words. Jesus said in Matthew, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Amen. In Mark, he said this, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." How awesome your last words that you were written to, but how hurt you would be if they just ignored it. How terrible it would be if they just threw it off to the side. And how easily we throw his last words off to the side when there's a lost and dying world. I don't know, I almost want to give an altar call right now. Jesus said, "Go to the nations." The word nations there is ethnos. The word ethnos means all forms, races, colors of human flesh. Jesus said, "Go to all people groups, wherever they're from, whatever they look like, go to them." And it's just all the cultures of the world. I thank God for Evangel Church of God, for the many cultures we have. But there's cultures we need to reach. There's people we need to reach for Jesus Christ. Have you taken his last words serious, or have you just cast them aside? Because there's better things to read. I thank God we can read that by His stripes we are healed.
That's right.
I thank God that we can read He shall supply all our needs according to His riches and glory.
Amen.
But I can't forget His last words.
Amen.
He said, go. Go to the cultures, every ethnic group, and would you teach them? Teach them what? Teach them to be disciples. The word disciples there mean teach, instruct, be a disciple. In Haiti, we've seen a great catastrophe. I wonder, in Haiti, if when the French, or maybe the Chinese, well, let's say the Chinese, went in and began to dig them out of the ground and reach in to save that Haitian, would he say, no, you're not a Haitian? Or would he say, thank you for saving me? See, when it comes to catastrophes and stuff, it doesn't matter what the color is. It doesn't matter where someone comes from. It doesn't matter what someone looks like. If you're going to save my life, thank God. Well, listen to me. There's a bigger catastrophe. And thank God. Well, listen, we're sending over $5,000 to Haiti from Evangel Church of God. But there's a catastrophe happening right out in our streets. There's a catastrophe happening right in our neighborhood. There are people dying and going to hell. There are people that are bound with drugs and alcohol. There are people being abused, and we just pass them by when they're looking for someone to dig them out of the rubble of their life and give them hope and teach them. Are you still with me? Disciple. To teach, instruct, to be a disciple is to be a learner. We have an obligation to teach. We have an obligation to teach from the nursery to the adults. What a great crowd we have here tonight, but we should have it every Wednesday night to hear teaching. Because God has put in my heart that we are going to disciple people. In this church, we don't want a bunch of spiritually crippled people that can't make it, but we want people that are full of the power of God, that is able to go into the streets to lay hands on the sick and them recover, to reach out to the lost and be able to preach the gospel and people get saved. Does anybody hear me what I'm saying? I have a goal to teach and train and disciple that we have an army of the children of God, not people that are just barely making it and they need to hold on to us to get to heaven. No. I want you to rise up and to be everything God has called you to be. We are called to be disciples and to disciple them. He said, baptizing them. Discipling starts with baptism. Oh, that's good. We're having baptism this Sunday night. If you've not been baptized, or you've walked away from God and came back, you need to be baptized. Well, what does baptism teach us? I'm so glad you asked. Baptism teaches us that we died with Christ. We went down in the grave. But then we came out a new creature. We died with Him, but we also raised with Him in the newness of life. Can somebody praise Him? And if that's true, then the old man is dead. Your old problems, your old who you were, your old hurts, your old pain is in the grave, but you are a new person in Christ Jesus. We need to teach people that you can die out to your past, die out to your problems, and it don't have rule over you anymore, but you can be a new creature in Christ Jesus and be alive in Him.
Amen.
And then he says in Mark, go out and preach. The word preach is kairosō, which means to be a herald, to officiate as a herald. Well, Pastor, what is a herald? I'm glad you asked. A herald literally means one who announces significant news.
Amen.
Does anybody got any good news?
Amen.
I said, does anybody got any good news?
Amen.
An official who carried a state message. A herald is not one going, Jesus loves you. But a herald wanted to go, Jesus loves you. There's good news. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be miserable. There is love and there is peace and there is joy in the good news that Jesus died for you, but he lives. And because he lives, you can also live.
Amen.
Well, preacher, that's what he's called you to do. No. That's what he's called us to do. Did you read his last words? Go. We had a preacher declare the good news. There's a lot of bad news going on right now. Turn on the news, all you hear is bad news. Deficit and unemployment and murder. And I got some good news. I said, I got some good news. He could take an alcoholic and change their life. He could take a drug addict and change their life. He could take a sinner and make them a saint. He can take I wish somebody would praise him. He could take a prostitute and make them a prophetess. I feel like preaching right now. I got some good news for you. Jesus loves you while you yet a sinner. He died for you. And if you'd only believe, your name could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can have life, and you can have joy. There is good news. Are you still with me? The word saved is sozo, means to save, keep safe, and sound to rescue from danger or destruction. Jesus said, if you'll preach, them that believe. Everybody say, them that believe. All they got to do is believe. Them that believe. How can they believe? The Holy Spirit draws them. The Word of God convinces them. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? The Spirit of God draws them. The Word of God convinces them. See, so many times we pass up who the letter's about. You see, who knows that one of these teenagers over here isn't the next Billy Graham? The next T.D. Jakes. Amen? Who knows? That's why we've got to reach them. Are you still with me? He who believes shall be saved. Rescued from danger. A car was driving down the road. It was rainy. Could barely see lights on. And they come around the corner and they see someone standing out in the street waving their hands and jumping up and down, hollering, stop! Stop! And they thought for a moment, just going to run right over them or just pass them up. And the last minute they put on their brakes and come to a stop. The bridge was out. And the man said, I was in the car that went over and I crawled back up and I had to keep the next person from going to destruction. You know what's the problem in the church? We're sitting on the sideline talking about the cars that are going to destruction when nobody's out heralding. You don't have to die. You can live. You don't have to die. Jesus loves you. There is a, don't go any further. There's an exit. You don't have to go down this route. He who does not believe is damned. It's a choice that they make. But we've got a choice to preach, to tell them the good news about Jesus Christ, to reach them for Jesus. The word damn means to judge worthy of punishment. See, I believe, and let me say this, the quarterback for Florida, Tim Tebow. When he plays, you know, they put black under their eyes? He has John 3:16 in it. Super Bowl, he's doing a commercial because they told his mom to abort him. She decided to keep him. Now he's one of the greatest college quarterbacks that ever played the game, going in the pros. So he's going to have a commercial at the Super Bowl talking about, thank you, mom, for not aborting me. And I am against abortion. I think it is a plight on our country, but I think it is a plight on the church that we have people that have come to the bridal. They've come ready to get birth into the kingdom of God, and they're aborted because the church doesn't care. They are spiritually aborted because the church don't care, and they walk away without Jesus Christ. God help us. There are people that need to be saved, and we need to reach them. His last words were, go, go, go. Would you go, go? But then he said, if you go, I am with you. I'm with you unto the end of age. I'll go with you wherever you go. You don't have to worry about it. I'll be there. Pastor, I can't witness. Yes, you can. You're not by yourself. He's with you. I wish somebody would praise him. He said, go. What is his last words? It is go. 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 I think God had our missions teams going to Belize. Amen. But we have a missions field right here. We have a missions field right here. Oh, I've got to say that again. We have a missions field right here. There are people that need Jesus Christ. They need to know him as their Lord and Savior. I want to ask you real quickly. How many's glad that somebody heard the last words of Jesus and reached you? Oh, no, see, I didn't get a good enough response. Maybe you don't realize where you used to be and where you are now, where you were going, but where you're going now. How many's glad that somebody heard the last words of Jesus and reached you and told you the good news and went and went and went and went and told you, and now your life is changed and you're saved? Thank God somebody went. I was a young person in a youth group. I believe I was probably 14, 15. We had youth group. It was in our home, and there was about 30 young people in our home. We was having prayer and just fellowship. And one of our youth came in, and she was just in tears. I mean, weeping, just could not hardly stand up. We said to her, what's wrong? And she said, yesterday I went to work, and my boss walked by. She said, I was a waitress at a real nice restaurant. My boss walked by, and he just looked so sad. And Jesus told me, would you tell him I love him? And she said, I thought I could lose my job. What would everybody think? What would the other workers think? She said, all day, every time he walked by, Jesus said, would you tell him I love him? She said, I went home that day, and I didn't tell him. She said, all night I wrestled with God for not telling him. I made up my mind Friday morning I was going to go in. The first thing I did was going to tell him Jesus loved me. I came in, I walked in, and I asked where he was. And someone said, didn't you hear? His fiance broke up with him yesterday. And last night he committed suicide. Slipped out in eternity. There's an old song we used to sing in the Church of God. It says, go out and win, rescue from sin. Day's almost gone, lo seeks the sun. Go and find them. Help to win them. Win the loss at any cost. Amen. Stand with me tonight.